A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Good morning. My name is Andrew Bassini. I use he, him, his pronouns. I'm really grateful to your pastor, Melissa, and to all of you for the invitation of being here today on World Communion Sunday. I've been fortunate to have celebrated in some liturgies with this community over the years as my sister and my nieces were part of this faith community. And in recent years, I was able to accompany Janet and Jeff Wright on a journey through Palestine and Israel. And it was a trip that really impacted my life. I know that they continue doing these journeys and accompanying people, and I can say that they do it very well. If any of you here have given thought to the idea of maybe joining them, I would encourage you. I would encourage you, but I will also warn you of something that I think a few of you here already know, and that is that you won't be the same after that journey is over and your journey back home continues. Today I want to share with you a little bit about my journey since that time, specifically about an experience I had this summer volunteering at a refugee camp on a Greek island. But first, I want to start with a story. And as all stories should begin, once upon a time, there was a little girl. And this girl was born with a problem. Because, as you know, when children begin to develop, they start to crawl and they start to walk on their feet. And this little girl began to walk on her hands. And this startled her family. And it worried her parents and her teachers. You know, it wasn't right. And so her parents and her teachers and her therapists, they all came together and they worked on her and worked on her. And eventually they succeeded. So that they turn this girl right side up, and she began walking on her feet. And they said to her, "Now, isn't that wonderful? Now you can walk the same way and you can see the same way as everyone else can see." And the little one said, "Nuh-uh. Because when I was walking on my hands, I ran eyeball to eyeball with a butterfly. And a worm sat on my nose. And those things will never happen to me again. Because I will now see the world as everyone else sees it. And I won't run into a worm and a butterfly. And all will be the same. And I won't have a different perspective." So the moral of that little story is one that I think also coincides with what I think World Communion Sunday is asking us to reflect upon today. Being Christian, our call to follow Christ, requires us to have a different perspective. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, points us towards Christ's humility. A humility that may be for us a different perspective. You know, it was in humility that Jesus enters into relationship with others, with strangers, with children, with Samaritans, with taxpayers, with outcasts. My volunteer experience this summer gave me some insights into entering into relationship with others. I worked with a Norwegian organization at a refugee camp on a Greek island called Chios. As a volunteer, I was part of a team that distributed food, distributed meals to about 1,000 refugees. I also took part in children's activities and a lot of logistical work, even warehousing and such. But I was blessed with many opportunities to engage with people. People there were primarily from Syria and Afghanistan, although there was also people from Iraq, Iran, Algeria, Tunisia, Nigeria, Eritrea, really all over the Middle East and North Africa. And one thing that I experienced each and every day that I was there was a tremendous sense of gratefulness. Gratefulness for everything in my life, for my family, for my partner, for my friends, my health, but also for security, for home, for my things. You know, each day I was in contact with people that had experienced so much loss. Many of the people there had to flee their homes, oftentimes in the middle of the night. They were forced from home due to war. Many of them lost family members on the way. They lost everything, and they endured a long journey that would take them oftentimes through several countries until they arrived on this Greek island. And they were now there waiting for asylum somewhere, hopefully in the European Union. You know, the folks there are part of the largest migration in Europe since World War II. So somehow in the midst of so much loss and pain, I was able to connect with people in a very simple and profound way. Something about that connection made me realize just how interconnected we all are. I really thought, you know, how is it that this person is so different than me? By chance, I was born on a certain place on this planet. By chance, to certain parents, raised in certain countries, with certain religion, and given certain opportunities. But that's about it. What makes me so different from them? I was really humbled. And I did a lot of crying while I was there. But you know, I was given many opportunities to engage with people, and oftentimes it was children. And children, you know, although they were traumatized by their experiences, they also had so much joy. That's a great thing about kids, is that the language barriers that were oftentimes there with the adults, not speaking Farsi or Arabic, Kurdish, it was different with the kids. I could just play with them, and they're such beautiful kids. At one point, I was asked to take on the organization of children's activities at the camp. And the first time that I did so, I actually thought about doing an activity of rock painting. I mean, I imagined children quietly sitting, painting rocks with the help of all the volunteers. And really, there was no shortage of rocks at the camp. I had lots of paint, and I had many other volunteers to help me out. But somehow, I didn't have enough paint brushes. Now, some of you parents right now are probably nodding at me, thinking, yeah. So yes, with few paint brushes and somehow little sharing of the paint brushes going on with the kids, the children quickly grew frustrated by this little activity and began throwing the stones at each other. It's basically ended my promising few weeks of leading children's activities in the camp. But you know, aside from the occasional rock throwing, my interactions with children really opened my eyes to the hope that exists even in the midst of the most difficult situations. I had an encounter with a Syrian woman one day. She had come down from another camp. There was another camp on the island called Vial. She had come down from that camp and had brought her two young children down to this rocky beach where I was handing out water. And she engaged me in conversation. And so we sat down and talked. And as we sat down, I realized that she was pregnant. And so we chatted as we watched her two young children playing near the by the water nearby. And I asked her how she was doing, and she said that she was 8 months pregnant and she was doing fine. And she told me a story. She pointed to her oldest, her four-year-old boy. And she told me that when she had him, her country was in civil war. And when the time had come, there was no one around her home and nowhere for her to go. So she had her baby all by herself. She then pointed to her daughter, the two-year-old, and told me how she had been born 2 years later in Turkey, where she and her family had fled after leaving Syria. I commented on how now her third child would be born in Greece. And she smiled and she said, "Yes, and maybe the next one in Germany." You know, it's amazing. A family of refugees with children being born in different countries along their journey. One thing about being there this summer, I was there in July and in August, was the heat. Boy, was it hot there. And although some days there would occasionally be a cloud that would come in the afternoon, it just didn't rain. But one day at breakfast distribution, a man came up to me and said, "Andrew," he was absolutely certain, he said, "today it is going to rain." Actually, I later checked my iPhone, and it did not concur that it was going to rain that day. But that evening, I actually was not on the schedule for dinner distribution, and so it allowed me an opportunity to come to camp a little bit later and just engage casually with people. And as I walked towards camp, the wind had picked up and the clouds were rolling in. And drops began to fall just as I got to camp. And people came out of their tents. And they just looked up at the sky and, throwing their heads back, just enjoyed the water running over their faces. And at one point, a man ran back into his tent, and he came out with a flute. And he began to play his flute, and children and adults and everyone just enjoyed the time, and they clapped and sang and danced and threw their arms in the air. It was so beautiful. It was really a grace-filled moment for me. On this World Communion Sunday, we are reminded of this interconnectedness. Churches throughout the world today are coming together to celebrate the breaking of bread, to celebrate communion as a reminder that we are all called to the table. It is a symbol and an affirmation of who we are. And today, even more so, a reminder that we are one body in Christ, one body with a wider world. Paul asks us, as he did the Philippians, to be of one mind, to imitate Christ's humility, to regard others as better than ourselves. Again, let each of you look not into your own interests, but into the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so I believe that requires us to walk on our hands, to have a different perspective, to sometimes pause and to reflect on how we are in communion with those across our world, those who are suffering and in need due to hurricanes or earthquakes or fires, due to war or political oppression. How are we in communion with the lonely, the homeless, with vulnerable children? As we take on this task, we can take comfort that we are not alone. God reminds us, as God did with the Israelites in our reading from Exodus, that God is standing there in front of us. Amen.